You're listening to the Superman Super Show, episode number 29, Superman and the Screen Siren. Hello and welcome to an all-new episode of the Superman Super Show. I'm a host. My name is Steven, and 1,000 miles over there to my right is another host, Mr. Ed Moore.
Howdy, I'm being a host.
Yay! Hosting and making toasting. Hosting with the toast. And a rump roast.
That's getting a little bit better.
Boast about my roast.
Just don't rhyme about any kind of cheese or anything like that, and we're good. Guam cheese.
I don't. You know, one of my favorite Monty Python sketches is about a cheese shop where they literally spend most of the sketch listing names of cheeses, and I don't remember most of them.
Cheese is not funny.
It's John Cleese and Graham Chapman used to write together. They were a writing team, and then Michael Palin and Terry Jones were a writing team, and then Eric Idle wrote by himself. But John Cleese would always say that whenever he and Graham Chapman were writing, if they'd get stuck, they'd like pull out a thesaurus and just start listing different names for stuff. And okay. I don't know if they wrote that one or if that was like Michael Palin and Terry Jones going, let's do one of their sketches. You know, let's do that.
But do it their way.
It's literally a guy coming into a cheese shop wanting to buy some cheese, and every cheese he asks for, they're out of. Every single one.
You know, I think I've seen that skit.
It's a pretty decent one. All right. So today we're looking at Superman and the Screen Siren, which appeared in Action Comics number 20. This was written by Jerry Siegel, penciled by Joe Shuster, and inks by Paul Cassidy. Your three regulars. Every once in a while, we'll see maybe a different penciler, I've noticed. You know, sometimes Wayne Boring will show up, but it seems to be these three guys most of the time. Action Comics number 20. Of course, published by DC Comics. It has a cover date of January of 1940, but according to Mike's Amazing World of Comics, an on sale date of December 1st, 1939. My older brother's birthday, December 1st, not 1939, though. He's younger.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And I actually took the synopsis this time from Mike's Amazing World of Comics. Sometimes he does have the synopses over there, and normally we get it from dcfandom.com, but that was literally two sentences, and I like, you know, I don't like the big three page freaking synopses,
but two sentences
is just not enough. So
right,
this is what I took from over there. Clark takes a business vacation to Hollywood and saves the life of actress Dolores Winters from an assassin. Winters agrees to give Clark an interview later, but when Clark arrives, she dismisses him coldly. The next day, Dolores announces her retirement and invites several wealthy people aboard a yacht. She then kidnaps them at gunpoint and vanishes with them. The next day, she radios in a ransom demand for $5 million. Superman learns where the money is to be delivered and tracks it to a submarine, which picks up the money. He follows the sub to a hidden destination, where Winters and her men plan to kill the hostages. Superman infiltrates the hideout and comes face to face with Winters. The eyes remind Superman of his deceased foe, Ultra. She reveals that she is, in fact, the evil mastermind. Ultra's men revived his body long enough to place his brain into the body of Dolores Winters. Superman is able to save the hostages, but Ultra escapes without a trace. Ed, what did you think about this one?
I was excited about the return of Ultra. I like Ultra.
I do too. I'm kind of torn though, because I was really enjoying the idea of this actress who has just decided at one point in her life, I've become successful enough. Now I'm going to start doing evil and kidnapping my coworkers and really like that. I kind of like the idea of a super villainous named the Screen Siren who would show up now and again. But I like if it's not going to be her, then yeah, having it be a human eye.
This was an okay idea.
Yeah, that was, okay. It was kind of fun.
If it can't be what you said, this That's is okay. Right. Okay.
Yeah, I'll take that as a substitute.
Yep. So opening the comic with Clark rescuing the L was interesting.
Yeah.
I don't know that we were aware that there was an L in Metropolis up to this point. I don't think we'd ever seen one. But for whatever reason, Siegel decided this is how he was going to open this particular strip. So
it's yeah, okay. And most of these in Action Comics up to this point, we've been referring to that opening big panel as like the splash panel. Mm-hmm. And it's been used to kind of just highlight Superman and basically give the whole, faster to the right. bullet thing right, that yeah. they haven't quite nailed down
yet. But, leap tall buildings yeah. and all that.
This one just opens right up into some action. I thought that was kind of interesting.
With an ominous creaking and snapping, the metal supports of an elevated railway commenced to give way. That's an excellent opening line. I heard that. It was in my head. Just what is that? 15 words and they were pretty well placed.
That would be even in a prose novel. That would be a great opening mm-hmm. to a book, yep. you know?
Now we've talked before, these boys were from Cleveland or are in mm-hmm. Cleveland, right?
Yeah.
But there is a connection with Toronto as well.
Yes. I
one or both were from there or
I think, the artist, Joe Shuster, spent time in okay. Toronto. So yeah, the Metropolis skyline is supposed to be based on Toronto.
Okay. The reason I ask is at this point, 1939/40, I know Chicago had L's.
Yeah.
Would Cleveland have had an L? Does Cleveland even have an L now? Or Toronto for that matter?
No idea.
You know? That's no like clue. Los Angeles. I don't think Los Angeles has the L. They went under, yeah. right? They have subways.
Yeah.
Well, but Chicago has subways too, but they have the L in Chicago is famous. I mean, it's.
Yeah. And it does both. It goes mm-hmm. underground and above ground. Yeah. I wrote it once.
You've been to Chicago?
Yeah. I went to the Chicago convention twice in the 90s.
Oh, okay. C2E2?
No, it was before that.
Oh,
yeah. It was just, I think it was it might have even been what would become a Wizard World.
Oh, okay. But yeah, the very first thing that came to my mind is, wonder where these guys ran into an L that they would want to draw one at this point, 1939, 1940. Mm-hmm. I mean, Cleveland is not that far from Chicago from, you know, maybe they had dealings in New York and had, you know, I don't know, just came to mind. Yeah. This is the first time after over 25 appearances of Superman that now we know that Metropolis has an L. So
the only thing I know about Cleveland is that apparently it rocks.
Oh, okay. Because
True Carey Show. Yeah.
And well, because the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame is there as well. So
yeah, I don't know who that band was that did that song that they end up using in the theme song for the Drew Carey Show. But Ohio, so
after saving the L, we follow Miss Winters onto set where Clark helps her, and then so here on these two pages, let's see. Yes. Panel 12, then I'll expect you to call on me tomorrow night. That is her. Mm-hmm. Unmodified.
Yes.
And on panel 15, this is her post-modification.
Yes.
So we can even track it down and say, you know, this was before and after.
Yeah, and I wonder because they never, I mean, the assassin. There's never any reason given why this guy is just here to kill her. We don't know if he's a crazed fan or if this is the first attempt to get her body for the Ultra Humanite.
Right. Yeah. Which, of course, that's the way I would lean because that just is a cooler thought. But yeah, there's absolutely no indication as to why. And actually, it just pops up suddenly. It's one of those, hey, let's have somebody try to kill her, you know, and they just whoop, drop it right in the story.
And Dolores is another one of these women. Joe Shuster is famous for not being very good at drawing characters. You know, he draws a lot of similar looking characters, and she looks exactly like Lois Lane.
Yes.
And in fact, multiple times throughout this story, when I would read the name Dolores, my mind flipped it and read Lois instead. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I could see that. So moving through what happens here, they go to the boat. She poo-poos when Clark calls on her, like she asked just the day before, probably not even 12 hours ago.
Yeah.
You know, and he's like, huh, that's kind of weird. Well, you know, those women, although he doesn't just say women, it is movie queens, but
yeah,
you get the idea. Yeah. It's women, you know, they're so flighty, she this way and then went that way. And
it's almost like women in general are pretty crazy, but you add actress to the mix and watch
it
out.
It just heightens up the craze. Yeah. And then ultimately somebody is talking to him, or is it in the next story? No, it's in the next story. I'm sorry. Never mind.
You know what? I'm almost reading your mind. When we get to that next story, I think I know exactly what you're talking about.
So there's a spoiler. Miss Winters appears in the next issue of Action as well. But so now we're on the ship. Everybody is there. She diverts the ship out, you know, rather than just being this tale of a fateful trip. Or never mind. I missed a cue there. I imagine that instead of, like, you know, following the coastline or going across a big harbor or something like that, she has the ship and she turns it out to deep ocean.
And I almost felt that they weren't even supposed to be moving, because the moment that it starts to move, the guy's like looking out the window. Hey, we're moving. What's going on?
Yeah. So I guess it was an anchor party.
Yeah.
You just go out to the boat anchored in the bay and you have a party.
The best time to be on a boat, man, is go sit on a boat and drink. And then, you don't have to go anywhere.
So she goes down to the radio man, and she has the radio man give her demands out over the airwaves. And this demand is for $5 million for who knows, however many people are on the boat. She figures we only know her as she right now. So she figures that family and friends and business associates and, you know, whomever will pay this money. Even though she has just retired but that was a different woman, we find out, that said those things than from what. Yeah. So,
yeah, these are famous people who have money. So
who better to kidnap?
Yeah, they're going to get some of it.
Yep. Clark now is he's heard about the ransom demands, and he goes back to the. He goes back to the studio to see what. He goes back to the studio because he has found out that the studio head is going to be given instructions for the delivery of the money. So he's going to the studio to get that information from the studio head. And runs into the guards here and has a little tete-a-tete, if that's the phrase. I don't know.
Yeah, I made a note here on that point.
Have notes. You didn't say you had notes.
Well, I got notes.
Okay,
I'll come in when you get to points where I have notes.
Okay.
Superman playing hide and seek is a big reminder regarding how far Superman is then from what he is now. Far cry, you know. Superman, I just couldn't imagine Superman playing hide and seek from security guards at this point.
No, he would just walk up. He avoids the dude at the gate by walking over here and jumping over the fence.
Yeah.
He would just
Yeah.
Help the man aside, and he would just walk through the gates and just, you know.
Well, and I think nowadays he would just, he would just, hey, I'm Superman. Can I come in? They'd go, here you go, Superman.
Yeah. Or he would just fly into the compound. Yeah. He wouldn't even mess with the gate. He'd just be like, ook. Yep. I'm in.
I also noted at the beginning of this story, or at least when he gets his assignment, I found it really kind of, basically his editor is just like, you know, Clark's like, you promised me a vacation. And the editor's just like, it'll have to be a work vacation. Take the train to Hollywood and send me back some movie news. That's it. He doesn't really have any, there's not a specific reason. There's not a specific story he's going after. It's just like, let's go to Hollywood and dig up some news for me. That's what I'm paying you for.
Panel 6. It seems as though Clark has asked for entrance before, but this is the only time we see the entrance.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Will you permit me to enter now? Yep. I'm like, what do you mean now? This is the only time you've tried to do this.
Yeah.
Not sure what that was about. Okay. Any other notes up until the studio head with the info?
I have it. Yeah. I have a note, after he meets the studio head.
Okay. So the studio head is kind of sweating things out because he knows he's supposed to get this information and he, hasn't yet. Superman arrives to once again spy on him. I don't think we necessarily see how Superman is looking in a window, although I do have that this is a hanging. Hanging from the ledge scene.
He does
here.
Hang from a ledge,
Goes in the window, and I guess he's in like the room next door.
Yeah.
Says that he uses his X-ray vision. Now, have we seen it called that before?
We've seen him use it at least twice before, but I don't know if they've called it
X-ray
vision. I can't quite remember now.
Okay. Any idea how this paper magically appeared?
No, they don't mention that at all. I mean, that probably is their way of saying this should be your first clue that the ultra humanoid is involved because he did something scientifically magical.
I guess I didn't read it like that at all. I just thought,
yeah,
I found it plot weird. Hole. Okay. Yeah. We have to move it forward. So here. But the paper with the information that the studio head is waiting for just materializes on his desk. Yeah. And that's what he says. I mean, it's not just drawn that we see that, but he says
it materialized
right out of the empty air. So I don't know how. I guess now, maybe the ultra humanite, you know, maybe that is the reason because that we know now that's who it's coming from.
Right.
So I guess.
Now, I did have the first panel of this page. They have Superman climbing up the side of a building and they actually put Superman, a veritable human fly, swiftly scales the side of the studio building. And I did write that down because I think this is the first time they've talked about Superman, his expertise in climbing walls, like a human fly.
Okay. Okay.
I actually wrote down new power ? But no, I think he's just.
And we do know in about 30 years over at Marvel, the human fly does show up for 12 to 15 issues over there. So, okay. Place 5 million within buoy near the Centel Lighthouse at 12 o'clock midnight. Those are the ransom delivery instructions. Signed Dolores, excuse me. So, you know, it's legit because it's
right.
It's signed by she.
Yep.
Superman escapes. We have some air running here. He goes to the lighthouse. Now, this is, I don't know that we have seen this at least once, that Superman can hold his breath for however long he needs to hold his breath.
Yeah. The story where he goes for the pirate treasure and throws a submarine around underwater.
Right, for the same reason. It has to do with the submarine. And
But I did write that down because I wrote that Superman can hold his breath for at least 2 hours. Because that's I don't think we really got much of a time frame in that one story. Mm-hmm. But we get at one point here while he's underwater, he mentions that it's been at least 2 hours.
sub. Right, yeah, the traveling of the sub once he grabs a hold of it. And it says, I think, 45 minutes that he was there before that. Yeah.
Yeah. So 15, almost 3 30, hours.
45, before. Yeah, at least, at the very least.
Yep.
Also, something has got to be up with his eyeballs to be able to see underwater at midnight.
Yeah.
You know, that's not the there's not the most light coming down through the water at that time of day. So
yeah, that's his supervision, you know.
The hatch opens on the submarine and it sucks the buoy in.
Yeah.
Just the buoy. Yeah. No water, no loss of air, no anything. It just opens to admit the buoy.
Yep. It's the magnetic ray.
Via magnetic ray. Yes. Yep. So I guess that's some more of the ultra humanites whammy power, like the invisible paper or teleporting paper, whatever that was. So we get to the underwater underground layer where the sub goes to.
This is the point where I really, now we don't know at this point that she is the ultra humanite.
Right.
But in retrospect, once I learned that, thinking about this underground layer under the water, mm-hmm. this is the moment that I really, really started to really dig the ultra humanite. You know, it's like, all right, this is a proper villain. He's got a layer under the water, under a secret cave, and we get an even better layer in another story. And
How long has he, I mean, has he just been like doing these things and just stocking them up for when he wants to use them, or it just, you know,
I guess. Yeah. That's what evil bad guys do.
No continuity as far as that is concerned. It's just what does he need? We need a lair. Okay. Done. Okay.
It's like, it's Dr. Evil, you know,
I guess. Yeah. Taking what money he can find and just investing it in layers all
that's
over.
Right. You got to reinvest in yourself. You know, that's how.
Right.
You got to spend money to make money.
Right. Takes money to make money. That's it. Exactly. So now like you said, things are starting to look a little fishy as to, well, who is this Winters woman? And it just keeps piling on, because now we have, she's affixed helmets to her hostages that she's going to use to kill them by delivering an electric jolt into their head, because she was going to kill them after she got the money anyways. So,
and that's why I was just slightly disappointed when it was revealed that it was, because up to that point, it's like, wow, this is just, she's just a movie actress, and she's got an underground layer.
She's been spending her money for this layer. Yeah, it's all possible. I see that. Okay,
it's like, I love this girl, and then oh no, she's the ultra humanite.
All of a sudden, she goes all sciency here. With Superman rescues the peeps here, the hostages, attacks to hold them off with a torch from the wall. She grabs down a brazier off the wall, and is fending everybody off with the flame. Gonna burn you, if kind of like Eddie Murphy's Dookie stick.
Dookie on you. her threat is that she will burn their faces to a crisp. Again, I'm at that point where I'm like, oh my gosh, this villain, she is wonderful.
She's so violent.
Yeah, love her.
And then the next two panels.
Yeah.
One is just a headshot of her. And then the next panel is, Superman has a sudden burst of intuition. This is super intuition, by the way.
Yes.
He says, those evil blazing eyes. There's only one person on this earth who could possess them. Ultra. And she immediately acquiesces and says, you're right. Oh, you got me.
I can almost hear, like an old man evil, you're indeed perceptive, Superman. You thought you had killed me in our last encounter.
Right.
Just love it.
The old man voice in this prime of her physicalness, female actress.
That would be
funny.
Her assistants found the body and revived me via adrenaline.
Love it. But she was dead because he saw him die. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think adrenaline would do it. She, of course, gives away her evil plan now. Or actually, it's not the evil plan. It's what she did to get to where she is now. So it's the same, but it's already been enacted.
And it's, you know, The only reason he gives for choosing Dolores Winters is because her body is young and vital. It's like, well, okay, so are probably another million people in right. the country. What? I just found it really weird. I mean, I don't know. Was she just nearby?
Why someone so famous that is going right. to be in the spotlight to
yeah.
make it obvious that she's not acting normal. Super breath. Is this yeah. the first time we have seen the super breath?
It is. It okay. very much is.
Okay. So yes, Superman whips out the super breath to put out the flames here. Winters slash Ultra jumps into the underwater bay there in their cavern and is so adept at swimming that by the time Superman enters the water behind her, immediately at super speed, she's gone.
Yep.
He doesn't see her. The hostages have overtaken all the guards and they have them at gun switched places there. And you can now enter the submarine and return to land. Who?
Yeah.
Who piloted that? The bad guys piloted yep. that.
No worries, it's a submarine. You can figure it out.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah, I guess that's
like
it.
Driving a car.
Superman swims away, goes back, files his report, and end of the story.
Yeah, I love that, of course, a director has to offer Superman a fortune to be sure. in a movie.
It's Superman.
Yeah.
He can do his own stunts.
Yeah. And then George Taylor, his editor, tells him, you go on a vacation and secure a great scoop. That's what I call being a fine newspaper man. It's like, well, that's what you told him to do. You know, why are you act surprised?
And see, that's why he gets the nod over Lois right now, because the man delivers.
That's right.
Because he's Superman.
Yeah. And then we get a little in-house, two little in-house ads for the Sandman, appearing each and every month in Adventure Comics and the Batman in Detective Comics. Yeah, right. I enjoyed this one. I like this one. As slight as my disappointment was that Dolores Winters wasn't just an evil genius famous actress, knowing, you know, once it sunk in that she's still an evil genius, that, you know, this guy had his brain transplanted, that's even better, you know. It's
but you didn't find that out until like just the last couple pages of the story. Right, I mean, the rest was along the lines of what you were yeah. digging. So
yeah, that's why as soon as you find out it's Ultra, I'm like, oh, come on, let's get in. But then once, you know, by the time you finish the story, I let it sink in that, all right, well, still we've got, you're basically your Lex Luthor of the Golden Age Superman. And right, he's right. Just a super evil genius. And he's so obsessed with, coming into power that he will live in the body of a famous female actress. And he's got underground submarine layers
we find out here next issue, he's got more layers.
Oh, so yeah.
This one's even cooler.
The next layer is so much better.
Alrighty, guys, definitely want to thank everybody for listening into this episode of the Superman Super Show. If you do want to drop us a line, ask us a question, or just provide feedback in general, you can send an email to thesupermansupershow@gmail.com. You can also find us on Twitter under the handle @SoupsSuperShow, or come join the fun over on the forum at forum.justanotherfanboy.com. All these links will be in the show notes. So until next week, I'm Ed, and actually this was all Stephen's part here, I see.
I wasn't going to say anything.
And that's Stephen, and this was the Superman Super Show. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Superman is a copyrighted feature appearing in Action Comics magazine.
These days, work is in trouble. We've outsourced most of our manufacturing to other countries. And with that, we sent away good jobs and our capability to make things. American Giant is a clothing company that's pushing back against this tide. They make all kinds of high-quality clothing and activewear, like sweatshirts, jeans, dresses, jackets, and so much more, right here in the USA. So when you buy American Giant, you create jobs in towns and cities across the country. And jobs bring pride. Purpose. They stitch people together. If all that sounds good to you, visit American-Giant.com and get 20% off your first order when you use code STAPLE20 at checkout. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with promo code STAPLE20.